Here we go on a Wednesday. Man, the week is slow, isn't it? Ursa, look at you over there. I'll take a nap in the middle of the show.
I'm starting to feel the effects of staying up late last night with the show.
Coffee for you. All right, there's a wood wagon we use. And it is a pretty wagon. I didn't know for the longest time. I always thought Tom. Didn't you think that Tom was actually kind of driving the wagon, Andrew? We used to see him come by, had the hat on, big piece of straw hanging out of the side of his mouth, waving to everybody in the wooden wagon. You know?
Yeah. How could I forget that sight?
I know. And it turns out he wasn't doing anything. The horses know exactly where they're going. Here comes that wagon now. So now we got some guy sitting where Tom normally sits. He's got the teeny tiny lady in a pickle jar in his lap, and man, he seems angry. Very angry.
Anybody, I'm honest. Anybody know who you are?
No.
Maybe everybody else wants to enjoy the peace and quiet.
Yeah.
This is one of the most important places in all of North America. Who are you? Who are you?
Who am I, Dominic? You know, as a 56-year-old grown-up, my life consists of finding bizarre rants on the internet. While you're reading copious amounts of things, I'm sitting typing in man yells. And then I go through clip after clip after clip. But I have hit the mother load of man yelling. If you want to find it on your own and enjoy it, it's called Small Angry Man Yells at Trumpet Player. And Tom, I am going to nurse this thing. Like a woman who has an unnatural bond with her child who's still breastfeeding past the age of 11. All right? That's what's coming this way. You're going to love this
model.
Guy. You're going to love this guy. All right. Let's see. changes in pot shop laws now unfair to businesses. Here's the deal. When they passed this, about 2012 or something, we said you're going to be able to sell marijuana in the state of Washington. They said to cities, towns, counties, you guys, elected officials, will determine where you're allowed to set the shops up. And I was on Sammamish City Council at the time. We kept kicking the can down the road. Then finally somebody came in that wanted to apply for a permit or a license, said, can you guys please get your act together and let us know what you intend to do? We didn't want, at the time, we were sort of put our tail between our legs, the city council and Sammamish, because we didn't want to violate federal laws. We didn't make sure that it didn't cost the city anything if federal government came after us. So we simply said, you can't have a pot store within, I don't know, was it 500 feet of a daycare, 500 feet of a high school, 500 feet of this. And we basically made Sammamish completely pot-free. You couldn't set thing up anywhere, right? It's just forget it. They're in Issaquah. They're unincorporated as well. You can find them just about anywhere. But it seems like there's one particular guy. He's a state representative, and he was on with KTTH with Jason Rance. And he says there's a problem with marijuana in the schools. This is Brad Kepler?
Clipper,
yep, here he is.
Well, I've been a law enforcement officer for over 25 years now, both in Pierce County along the I-5 corridor and in over here in Benton County on the east side of the mountains. And in those 25 years, I've seen the horrific effects of this drug in the lives of persons, their families, and especially children as a school resource officer now for over 18 years. Talk to the school resource officers who are actually in the schools with the children like I am, and they will tell you that there's a dramatic increase of marijuana use in our schools by our students, and it is not having a desired effect for our kids that we would want.
Mm. All right.
Now, that flies directly in the face of what we reported on, I think, just yesterday,
yes,
if not the day before, that drug use for minors has actually, you know, stayed flat or maybe even dropped in both Colorado and Washington after we legalized it. So his personal experience is very different from the statistical evidence that that was provided nationally yesterday.
That is interesting. You know, they could easily do that if they wanted, find some money, put it in the budget, and go around and talk to these high school police officers and find out if they're seeing an increase, or talk to teachers or get into the high schools. The study that you and I quoted, I can't remember where they got their numbers from, but overall, are our kids smoking more pot? According to the study we had, both in Colorado and Washington, the answer is no. This guy says
National Survey on Drug Use and Health.
Yeah. So this guy's proposing a bill to limit even more marijuana retailers that can set up shop. He said,
if I haven't already dropped that legislation or it's not a part of this legislation, we would give them the rest of the calendar year to try to recoup any losses that they might incur before they shut down. And then the next calendar year, they would have to cease to exist and or move somewhere else. In August 12, 2016, under the Obama administration, they studied this one more time to see, is there a safe use for marijuana in this country, and the Federal Food and Drug Administration said no, there is not a safe use for marijuana. That's why the DEA and the Federal Drug Administration said no, we are not going to change the legalization of marijuana across this nation. So each and every one of those business owners knew that it was against federal law when they started their business, and they knew they were taking that risk.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's the problem with Representative Brad Clifford.
Yes,
he's not trying to make, sort of refine the safety issues around these pot shops. By the way, I don't know if we've clarified what he's calling for. Already, you can't have pot shops in this state within 1,000 feet of an elementary school, a secondary school, playground, recreation center, child care center, public transit centers, libraries, any game arcade. Mm-hmm. Those are already, he just wants to now add within 1,000 feet of school bus stops, mm-hmm. which, you know, are the entire route of the schools. He wants to add those and preschools. And even if he got his legislation passed, he then wants it retroactive, which means that if you opened a pot shop 1,000 feet away from a playground, all these things, and then he adds another thing, and then you've got to uproot your business. It's like, this is not really him trying to refine the rule. He's mad that this got approved, yeah. and so he's doing everything he can to act like some Amish, basically, rule it out of existence by putting so many restrictions. So I don't think that he's operating on his own crusade, which is fine. He can campaign for that, but the way he's going about it in the legislature seems like a refinement of something that he wants to refine out of existence.
Well, I would ask him you go to get into one of these shops, and a lot of them, they buzz the door. You walk in, right? You're not even anywhere near the marijuana. There's somebody sitting behind a desk, bored out of their mind. They ask to see your driver's license. You hand them the driver's license. They put it under a blue light. They look at it. They look at you. There's cameras all over the place. And then, they buzz you into another door where all the marijuana is. Okay. That's tough. They don't even do that in a state, in a liquor store, right? You could go into Safeway and steal a fifth of Jack and walk out the door at the Safeway. And the Safeway, by the way, happens to be right next to, and QFC happens to be right next to Skyline and Eastlake and Eastside Catholic. You can go in there and rip off as much as you want out of those stores, take all that alcohol. There's no one buzzing you in. It is really hard to buy marijuana in the state of Washington. And I would ask him, so you tell me, at what point does the kid get the marijuana? So if the marijuana store is set up here, and here's the bus stop, or here's the school, explain to me, does the kid walk in there? Does he leave the bus stop and walk in, show his driver's license, get past the person sitting there reading along a John Grisham novel? Mm-hmm. No, they won't sell it to him. They can't get it. Then they get it from a dealer, or do they get it from his brother or sister or somebody older that walks in? Possibly. And you won't be able to stop that by moving the pot store out of the way. Someone will be able to get it to somebody. If somebody wants it, someone will sell it to them.
Yeah, I think that Jason, so he's on KTTH. It's a conservative station. Even Jason says, this doesn't seem fair to businesses, you know, in this case, that you're legislating something that has been allowed by the state. So, I'd be surprised if this gains much traction. I mean, of course, there will always be people that are adamantly opposed to drugs of any form. And secondly, there may be people that really feel like the feds really could come down. I think there was less danger. There's less danger of it perhaps now. But under Jeff Sessions, he always threatened that. But it seems not to be. So many states now are legalizing this that I just think that Clippert may be unhappy with the way the world is going, but I think he's bucking upstream at this point.
But don't you think he's also seen as a police officer more damage of a car wrapped around a tree and on the floorboards of the car, or perhaps outside the car when the door is opened as they go in there with the jaws of life to remove the mangled body of the teenager and there's a six pack on the floor? Didn't he see more of that type of damage from alcohol than from marijuana?
Yeah, it would be interesting. That would be a good question to lob at him to see how he would respond to that. He might be happy if we restricted access to alcohol much more severely than we are too. I think if you're on the receiving end, like a good cop is, the receiving end of all sorts of the bad effects of the ways we abuse our bodies, we'd probably be all, you know, who cares? You know, maybe they had it right in the Prohibition era. It's just that human nature overwhelms what seems to be the right approach.
Right. Let's see. Cohen's in trouble. He is going to do 3 years where they say 36 months in a minimum security because he lied to Congress. And they're going to fine him $100,000. What were the additional crimes that they were able to trump up on him?
$2 million, John.
$2 million.
Financial penalties. They're hitting him pretty hard. Yeah, it's 3 years. So basically, there are two. He pled guilty in two separate cases. One brought by Mueller was that he lied to Congress about the presidential election and the Trump Tower meetings. And the other was brought by the federal prosecutors in New York about tax and bank fraud allegations. Oh, yeah. And campaign finance violations. Now, I'm assuming, since it's federal court, that we don't have any audio.
What we have is like a creepy porn lawyer for some reason is talking.
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, let's get across. I just want to get across. Apparently, he made this very emotional and teary appeal for a leniency. You know that he threw himself on the mercy of the court, and he says, I blew it. I was weak. Donald Trump called me weak in a tweet recently, but he says he was right, but he was right for the wrong reason. I was weak because I followed this man into the dark side, and he laid it all at the feet. His sense of duty was loyalty to Donald Trump, and that was a huge mistake. And the judge listened to that, but still gave him a pretty stiff. I think they were asking for, they're guessing maybe 4 years. He got 3 years and $2 million. So, anyway.
Here's the creepy porn lawyer.
Let me be clear. Michael Cohen is neither a hero nor a patriot.
Why is he talking? Was it because there was a microphone somewhere nearby? Hold on.
Okay.
He lied for months on end about his criminal conduct and the role of the president of the United States.
This is the lawyer with the Stormy Daniels, so this is the connection here. And by the way, Stormy Daniels, the judge has said you got to pay Donald Trump $290,000 for the legal fees. More from a creepy porn lawyer.
He lied in March. He lied in April. He lied in May. He lied in June. He lied in July. And only until his back was against the wall and he faced significant prison time did he decide to, quote, come clean. He even lied to the office of the special counsel in July of this year. Michael Cohen is no hero. He is no patriot.
Who's presenting him as a hero and a patriot?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's an excellent point. I mean, a lot of people are applauding him for at least coming clean now that he lied for all this time. Right. No one is, building a statue in his honor. The reason Avenatti has any connection, though, is because it was his lying about the hush payments to Stormy Daniels, his client, that he's inflicted on. So Cohen has gone head-to-head with Avenatti for a couple of years now over the Stormy Daniels. Now that he's pled guilty, he's I'm not saying he isn't rushing to the microphones because he wants to do Stormy Daniels right. He's doing it for his own public
appearance. Does all that stuff for himself.
Issues. But still, there is at least a connection.
Cohen, December 19th, 2015, Michael Cohen, Twitter, at Hillary Clinton. When you go to prison for defrauding American perjury, your room and board will be free! Exclamation point.
That's Cohen. Yeah. Well, that's the same thing with the locker up chance that they now have at the Republican convention from the National Security Advisor, who is now throwing himself in the mercy of the court. They were vicious about Hillary, and they're the ones getting it in the end.
There's a podcast called Winging It, and Steph Curry, who
Flynn.
Is what's that?
You just thought, I just said Flynn.
Flynn, thank you.
Michael Flynn.
Gotcha. Yeah. Hey, Tom, we're moving on.
Yes.
Steph Curry, outstanding basketball player for Golden State, was on a podcast called Winging It, and he says he doesn't believe in the moon landing.
We ever been to the moon?
Nope.
They're going to come get us. I don't think so.
Elon Musk.
Sorry, I don't start a conspiracy.
They ain't been on the moon.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm.
Stanley Kubrick.
This big back then.
Bro, you talking about we took something to the moon? I don't think so.
Hmm. Wow. Okay. I'm glad they could back it up with all sorts of science. The ESPN discourages this type of behavior. People sitting around saying we didn't go to the moon.
These people are my friends. I know them well. Well, I'm with them. Their discussions all the time. I know their intellects. Don't do this. Don't come out and say we saw these pictures. They're kind of grainy. They're black and white. Happened before I was born. Because does that mean you don't believe in slavery? Does that mean you don't believe in the Revolutionary War? Did it not happen because it didn't happen on your watch? Don't do this.
So
you guys are too smart. If you are as
really?
Woke as you say, if you are as technologically savvy as you appear to be, don't do this.
This is a very...
Because you're saying, I don't believe in history. The hell with history, because it didn't happen while I was looking at my cell phone watch.
that's okay. Michael Wilbon going right. off, yeah.
So,
and the problem is...
Yeah, so NASA has come forward and they said, listen, Steph, we'll be glad to walk you through it. We'll show you everything. We'll explain how we landed. We've got all these engineers that helped put us on the moon. If you'd like, Steph Curry, we can show you evidence because you seem to need that in order to be convinced that we actually went to the moon.
I think that would be great. And one of the problems is nobody really knows. Even Michael Wilbon, before he, you know, got on his rant, he said that he says, now, maybe they're just trolling. Maybe they're just having, you know, good fun.
Yeah.
The thing is that somebody actually referenced it. It's in reference to Kyrie Irving, who's a superstar guard, basically, with LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers and then left and went to Boston Celtics, one of the best players in the NBA. He went on and talked about, Mike, the world is flat. I don't believe we ever went to the moon. All these kind of nonsensical things. And we don't know now. This is getting picked up by various players. If they're all in on this kind of, you know, hip joke, or if they actually believe it because they're so lazy about things. Apparently, you go onto YouTube and you can find all sorts of conspiracy theories laid out, you know, with arguments right and left. And if you just watch YouTube, that's the extent of your research. You could, be a sucker for many, many things.
I guess if you've got a podcast called Winging It, and maybe no one's heard of it before, if you want to get people to listen to it or know what it is, have Steph Curry deny the fact that we ever went to the moon, and then it's like, oh, now we discover Winging It.
Right. No, that's very true. It's a brilliant marketing move on somebody's part. And just to show you how wacky these theories are, not that they're not on the face of it wacky, but so in this particular case, they cited Stanley Kubrick was the one. He's the guy who made 2001 most appropriately for this topic, that he was the one who staged all of the landing footage and all that. But others have suggested, it was Martin Scorsese who did it. It's like, just pick a famous American director and throw out his name. I mean, there's absolutely nothing to it, and I agree with Mike Wilbon. Just knock it off. You look like an idiot.
These stories, these happy ending stories that we see where somebody decides they're going to do something nice for a disabled child, is there a victim in all of this? When we watch the video, the disabled kid seems to get something. The person that gives the gift seems to get something as well. But for some reason, if you watch and look at it a little more closely, someone's being victimized here. We'll come right back. Tom and Curly Show. Plus, highlights from the very Cairo Christmas yesterday. The live performance, 600 people. Tom, the place was packed all the way to the rafters there at First Baptist Church. And, of course, let the record show that your fans wouldn't talk to me. Right back. Boy, cold weather coming. Big winds. The Kwame is open. Good time to go skiing. But look out, because with cold air, that means the air that's in your house that's supposed to be warm that you're paying good money for, there could be some cracks in the windows and doors. And it's heading out, and you probably want to have a more efficient home. So why not get in touch with the folks at Lake Washington Windows and Doors and make sure those windows and doors are as sealed and tight as they could possibly be. It's Lake Washington Windows and Doors. Thanks for sponsoring the Tom and Curly Show from 11 to 12 right here. I have, having worked in television for the longest time, it used to be that we would get a call either at the television station. Last one I worked at was Washington, D.C., the news department. You get a call from somebody saying, hey, my kid is going to do this or do that, and it's going to be happening here and there, and it's going to be my kid is doing something nice for this other kid who got bullied or is a victim of something or has some sort of mental or physical disability. Wouldn't it be great if your cameras came and captured this? We used to get those calls all the time at Evening Magazine, and it was like, is there more to the story than that? But news news runs on a healthy diet of these types of stories.
Oh, what?
Open it up.
The young man on the left is Maricopa High School senior Jacob Marr. He's about to surprise his friend Matthew Sabetta with a gift.
Let me see what's in here.
The two met in school and became close friends. And through that special friendship, Jacob learned Matthew loves cement trucks.
Oh my goodness!
Okay. So this kid who knows that his friend likes cement trucks, obviously his mother, father, or he himself, or maybe somebody posting on Facebook, hey, I'm going to do something nice. Bring your cameras and put it on television so I can take this dump truck, this toy, this Tonka truck, and hand it to this kid, and then he can open it up and you can capture his reaction to my good act, my good deed. It's terrible.
Yes, exactly. We are so together on this. Oh. And it's too bad we didn't set up the, you should hear the introduction. This is on in Arizona Family Live or something. It's a local, you know, show in Arizona then. And they're saying, oh my God, this is one of those stories. It's just like, it so makes your day. It's just like, this is a whole, you know, like the Christmas spirit idea. They milk it before you even see the story. And yes, and then you see it. The fact, and what's great about this, the highlight in the article, in the Guardian, the article that we're basing our response onto, they quote somebody, someone who's a journalist, but also wheelchair user, so I don't know why she's in a wheelchair, but she tweets in response to this, that how worn down she is by videos like this. When people take a kind moment and make it viral, it's no longer kind, it's disingenuous, and this is the operating word for me, patronizing.
Ugh.
I think that's exactly right. I'm all for people doing random acts of kindness, people just doing things nice to people. But when you, in effect, you know, weaponize it, you commercialize it by posting it and getting all these responses, it's so insulting. I think basically you're advertising to the world, oh, I feel sorry for this person, so I'm going to do something nice. Mm-hmm. And as the article suggests, that it seems that disabled people exist to make non-disabled people feel good about themselves.
It's
really the pitch. And it's like, but I think that's so hard because I think most of us just initially respond, oh, isn't that sweet? He did that because he's a good looking, you know, kid who obviously, you know, probably runs in a different kind of crowd, but his heart went out to a kid who obviously is not going to be as well received in the popular circles as this kid is. It's a nice gesture, but it's so cheapened. It takes away all the value of it by, you know, taping it and posting it, I think, too.
And is it heartwarming? Right? Ultimately, when the more of these things come up, how about the woman who has a cerebral palsy? She went into a nail store or nail salon. They wouldn't do her nails for her because her hand shook too much. So then a kindly woman says, you know what? I'll paint your nails for you. I just happen to have my friend here videotaping the whole thing and put it up on Facebook so you can watch me with your shaky hands. And it had to be shared more than 3,000 times. Acts of kindness that are random and undocumented seem to mean more than all of a sudden saying, look what I'm doing for you. So I don't think maybe just the general public that watches crappy television news, maybe sitting home, they're like, yo, that really makes me feel good to see that kid get that dump truck. Terrible.
You know who I wish we had on right now is Colleen O'Brien, because, you know, Colleen O'Brien has that morning, you know, feature where she, you know, highlights positive things.
Yeah.
I wonder how, if she would have a different response to this, or if she just says that's just the nature of media, or if she would agree that this is going a step too far, because, I mean, we want to celebrate people that are doing, you know, kind, good things in the community. Mm-hmm. But as soon as we put the spotlight on that celebration or on that act of kindness, it somehow cheapens it. I wonder if she faces that dilemma with her series in the morning.
I didn't get a chance to talk to Colleen O'Brien because she was working late last night, Tom, like the rest of us, unlike you, doing a show, a live radio broadcast at First Baptist Church there at 11111 Harvard Avenue. It's amazing, 600 people. These are true, true Cairo radio listeners. In fact, the script was written just for them, 600 people that were there. It packed into this beautiful church. And Felix knew where all the funny parts were. So many of these things were inside jokes. My friend Heath Miller came. He didn't get one of them. He said, I don't know why. Why were they laughing at the mouse joke?
Personality radio is dead. I mean, you could have a studio full of mice, and they'd be more popular than any human host in the air these days.
Crowd eats it up. My friend's like, I don't get it. Want to hear the biggest joke? This got the biggest reaction. And as I said to Jacob, this got the biggest laugh. And Jacob said, I don't think they're laughing as much as they're just screaming.
Rebuild the snowflake.
This is Sully playing the guy that runs the snowflake, plastic snow globe, snowflake manufacturing plant. He goes,
rebuild the snowflake factory in the old frozen pea plant while we're trying to get the big order filled? That's like closing down a three-lane free highway for 3 weeks just so you can open a new toll road through a two-lane tunnel.
Sully brings the house down.
Well, I think Felix deserves some credit for that line, but it was well delivered.
Yes, and for those of you that don't like me, here I am being fired by our actual boss.
What's this all about? The ratings?
I'm sorry, Alex.
Oh, boy, here we go.
I play Alex Green, so...
The ratings are, they're a little soft.
Come on, it's November. What do you want? The holidays, the weather, you know what I mean? Shopping, everything else.
Maybe. But the station is also going in a different direction.
A different direction.
Yeah, one with higher ratings. and one that's a little more, you know, warm and fuzzy, kinder and gentler.
Warm and fuzzy? Kind and gentler?
Look around. The world has moved on from the tone and tenor of Alex Green, my friend. And now the station has to as well.
Look, I can do warm and fuzzy.
I don't think so.
And that was it. They gave me my box and my key card. They took it both away. And I was then unemployed, Tom. And then I returned back to my hometown that I had grown up in. I was a Maplewoodian.
Anyway. So were you the villain of the piece?
No, I wasn't a villain. I was an insincere human being who suddenly finds the true meaning of life. From a plucky widow played by Ursula Roitine. And we'll go out to the commercial break with Dave Ross and Ursula Roitine's Wonderful World.
You in the colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, and also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I see children cry.
I watch them grow.
They'll learn much more than I'll ever know.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
There you go. Right back. Yep, the online Trading Academy text line was open, and many of you took advantage of it. The online Trading Academy text line at 98973. Thanks, guys, for sponsoring that. Alrighty. Jacob, tomorrow I need you to mine more stuff of the little man yelling at the man with the trumpet.
Right.
All right. Tom, you're going to love it.
Okay. I'll take your word for it.
Here comes the mailman. Hello, mailman.
Hello!
Not you, teeny tiny lady.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Yes, he does. Right to the door. There's a teeny tiny lady. One more time. Say hi to Jacob, teeny tiny lady.
Hello!
See if you can tell us about that letter of the day, but first, let's get started.
Okay, we got a new annual report from the Seattle Transportation Department. 206 writes in, I've lived in Seattle since 1970. I also lived in Europe for 5 years. Seattle is not Europe and never will be. The streets in Seattle are too narrow.
James and
Issaquah. Wow,
what time?
Some of the narrowest streets I've ever seen are in Europe as well, but maybe in general that's true.
James and Issaquah says, come on, John, don't just criticize government. The private sector, when there's a scandal in a big company or a business goes under, the CEO ends up getting a raise. Yes, I enjoyed the Christmas show last night. Thanks, James.
And 509, I like me horse.
We don't know why that's there, but Jacob thought that was just odd enough to put in there. Napping pods, 425, regarding sleeping pods, check for bed bugs. Oh, come on.
Ooh, and
no,
and
no. If somebody can afford $20 an hour, they don't have bed bugs. Sorry.
At 253, yes. Never tell a radio person anything that you don't want broadcast.
That's true. Let's see. Marcia says, I was so excited to finally meet you after all these years of listening. I forgot to tell you how much I enjoyed the show. You are great. We stayed at the Mayflower Hotel last night, and we went shopping this morning, so today I can catch the show on the podcast. The live theater is always the best. Well, that's nice. Thank you.
That's great that Marcia made it down, yeah. Dick's Sporting Goods, 206. FYI, because of Dick's Sporting Goods' stance on guns and gun control, I will not shop there for any reason. Don't kid yourself. The reason they are struggling has a lot to do with their stance. By the way, I burned my Levi's as well.
I guess it was Levi's also.
I didn't even really know. Yeah, that was...
Levi's was going to stop selling guns, too. Deadpool, defending Nickelback, 253. The musical butt of jokes and the heaped scorn. Nickelback has taken over from Michael Bolton, who took over from that. Let's say it was Barry Manilow. Fair, unfair, who knows? It just is. By the way, I have seen both Michael Bolton and Nickelback in concert, and I would say I would love to see them both. I'd have Nickelback open for Michael Bolton, and then two of them get on stage together.
Your taste has no depths.
I'll tell you a really sad Michael Bolton story when I saw him at a casino a couple years ago, but here we go.
Okay. On the A&I God business, yeah. 425, this whole AI as a god is absurd. If we create artificial intelligence, we are not more godlike, nor are we ourselves creating a god. The very concept of God is that he is outside of human understanding. Writing lines of code does not make a god.
Nick in Orcas Island, I couldn't help but think of a quote from the movie Clerks 2 as you guys were discussing the possibility of AI God.
Since God created man, and man created the Transformers. The Transformers are like a gift from God, Randall.
See?
Okay. Tipping Bucky's mechanics for yes. Christmas. 206. Tip your gym instructors and maybe even your radio announcers.
Tom's fans and John's fans, semi-retired in Seattle, says, I am an unabashed Tom fan, but I wouldn't hesitate to extend my greetings to you in any social situation. We have more in common than you may think. My wife calls me a recovering libertarian. I was in the Libertarian Party of Pierce County from the 80s and 90s, and my background in sales, as much as I disagree with your political views now, I've realized that you're an essential part of the magic that keeps the show enjoyable. Kudos, John. Be happy to shake your hand sometime in the future.
And now it is time Very for good. The letter of the day.
Comes from Eric in Bothell.
Oh, once made famous by this show.
Did Roan and Martin have separate fans? Did Martin and Lewis have separate fans? How about Penn and Teller? I, perhaps because I'm a liberal, am a fan of the Tom and Curly Show. You both have engaging personalities. The fact that John has some implausible political perspectives and still admits for voting for Trump is no reason not to like him. A person isn't simply the sum total of his political views. There is more to you two guys than your politics. You're entertaining, and that's why people listen.
Ah.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
Out of time. Bye-bye.